All right. Good evening, everyone. So first of all, thank you to Bela, to the Langer Mishpacha for opening your home. It's always such a wonderful privilege and opportunity to come to this side of town to learn a little bit of Torah. And so I figured that we're a week out of Hanukkah. First, I really just came for the shtender. This is by far the nicest shtender I've ever spoken at. This is really special. So I figure, being that we're a week, it's always hard this time of year to try to figure out what to talk about. On one hand, the parshios themselves are so incredibly riveting and overwhelming and amazing, but yet we're also a week out of Hanukkah. So I hope it's all right. I'm going to speak a little bit tonight about Hanukkah and try to delve a little bit into the neshama of the Yom Tov. You know, one of the greatest challenges we have in our Judaism is many of us have been doing many of the same things for many, many, many years. And anything you do by rote and anything you do as a force of habit, sometimes over time tends to lose its meaning a little bit. And we often overlook some of the most spectacular ideas and concepts that we have in our beautiful treasure that we call Torah. So tonight we're going to try to delve a little bit into the neshama, into the panemius, into the soul of Hanukkah. Oh, I didn't get out your sheets. I'm sorry. Here are sheets. I'm wondering, why is no one looking inside? Okay, thank you. So as they're going around, I'll begin the Gemara, which you're familiar with. So the Gemara Maseches Shabbos begins with a very simple statement. The Gemara says, "My Hanukkah." What is Hanukkah? So the Gemara says, the Tanur Rabban and the rabbis taught, "Bechafei bekislev yomi de Hanukkah timnia inun." On the 25th of Kislev, so there are 8 days of Hanukkah. Delo lemispod b'hon, velo delo lesanas b'hon. So again, it's fascinating to see, by the way, how the Gemara introduces the concept of Hanukkah. There are 8 days of Hanukkah. What don't you do on Hanukkah? So before there's a discussion about the miracles, the first thing the Gemara says is, don't eulogize and don't fast. What a strange way to introduce a Yom Tov, right? It's a Yom Tov, fantastic, simcha, incredible. Don't eulogize, don't fast. So just hold on to that for a little bit as to why that's the first thing that Chazal tell us about the Yom Tov. And the Gemara then goes on to the story, which you all know. Kishenichnesu Yevanam Lehechal, Timukal Ashmanim Shebehechal, the Greeks, Syrian Greeks came into the Beis HaMikdash. They defiled everything in the Beis HaMikdash, all of the oils. You know the story, the Chashmonaim defeated the Greeks. They came in, they only found one cruse of oil that had its seal intact. There was only enough oil to last one day. Miracle occurred, and the oil remained lit for all 8 days. In a subsequent year, so just as an interesting aside, Hanukkah was not instituted as a Yom Tov for some number of years after the initial miracle, which is really quite fascinating. We often have this conception that the oil burned for 8 days, and they declared a Yom Tov. But in fact, they did not. The Sfasemis, the Ger Rebbe, has a whole piece about this, where he explains that they didn't declare Yom Tov for a number of years afterwards, for very good reason. When the Chashmonaim defeated the Syrian Greeks, there was so much assimilation, there was so much Hellenism, that to go ahead and declare a new Yom Tov would have been foolish. So Lashana Cheres means sometime later on, they declared a new Yom Tov, Bahalal Vahoda. It's so beautiful. It's the Hanukkah story we're all familiar with. One little cruse of oil that should only remain lit for one day, miraculously burned for 8 days. But I want to bring up a simple, fundamental question, which is, there were no shortage of miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, if you take a look at number two, there's a Mishnah Maseches Savos, and the Mishnah writes, Asara nisim na'asu la'osenu b'Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 miracles that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah goes, we're not even going to go through all of them, but incredibly dramatic ideas, like there were never any flies in the slaughterhouse. The rains never extinguished the fire on the external Mizbeach. Everybody somehow fit into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Incredible miracles. You look at it on your own. 10 miracles. How many Yamim Tovim do we have to commemorate the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash? None. So it's fascinating that on one hand, again, not at all diminishing the miracle of the Pach Shemet. It is dramatically amazing that one little cruse of oil that should only remain lit for one day remains lit for 8 days. Dramatically amazing. But there are no shortage of miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, 10 constant miracles that the Mishnah makes reference to. Yet, no Yom Tov commemorating those miracles But yet there is a Yom Tov commemorating the miracle of the Pach Shemen, which then leads us to one very important realization, which is there's a deeper message. You know, in Judaism, we generally have two different types of miracles, right? There are utilitarian miracles and message miracles. There are miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do because we're stuck, right? A good example of that would be Kriyas Yam Suf, right? Best example. We're standing at the banks of the Red Sea. The Egyptians are in hot pursuit. One of two things happen. Either the Egyptians slaughter us or HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads us through. That's a utilitarian miracle. Man is a utilitarian miracle. And then there are other types of miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that the truth is, he didn't have to do them. It wasn't necessary per se. It was something nice. Whenever you find a non-utilitarian miracle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to convey to us a message. There's a message that's embedded in the miracle itself. So therefore, working a little bit backwards, if we're celebrating the miracle of a cruise of oil, let's be honest. In the thousands of years of history of Am Yisrael, right, the 3,000-year history of the Jewish people, if I were to ask you, is the miracle of the Pach Shemen like in the top 10? What would you say? Nobody likes to answer these kind of questions, right? But it's a safe space. You could say, what would you say?
Probably not.
No, not at all. It's not even close. Meaning the fact that we're sitting here tonight learning Torah less than a century after the Holocaust is a much greater miracle than any Pach Shemen, right? The fact that Baruch Hashem, we're in diaspora, yet we have such flourishing Yiddishkeit as much. You could count, if you look at the miracles of Am Yisrael, the Pach Shemen miracle, I don't even know that it comes up on the radar. When you think about all of the incredible things that have happened to our people, yet it is such a centerpiece miracle. It is something that is so central. You know, it's what's fascinating, unfortunately, it's a little bit different today, but it used to be that even amongst Jews who are not as affiliated, Hanukkah was always a big thing. Oh, I mean, it might have a Hanukkah bush or, you know, something else, you know, accompanying it. But it was, unfortunately, you see how assimilation is really kind of ramping up, that even Hanukkah is falling by the wayside. But Hanukkah was something that was embedded in the consciousness of the Jew in such a dramatic way, which tells me that somehow, some way, there's a deeper message to this miracle. So I want to try to share with you one of the pieces. I think there are many deeper and embedded messages in Hanukkah. I want to share with you two of them that really come together for one cohesive message. If you take a look at number three, there's an amazing Gemara. So we're going to get a little bit technical just for a little while. So the Gemara says in number three, when speaking about the halachos of Ner Chanukah. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, mitzvah Chanukah, Ner Ish Ubeso. The mitzvah of Chanukah is incumbent upon the home. This is actually a very important halacha. Ner Chanukah, right, the kindling, we call it the menorah, but Ner Chanukah is not a din, it's not an obligation on the individual, it's an obligation on the home. Which is why, technically speaking, even if you're not home, but members of your family are lighting in your home, you discharge your obligation. Interesting idea. It's a din on the home. So that's Ner Ishu Beso, Vahamahadrin, Ner L'chol Echad Ve'echad. The mahadrin and a mahadrin. So okay, so mahadrin is one candle per home. Not one candle every night of Hanukkah. One candle on night one candle on night four, one candle on night. That's the basic mitzvah. Mahadrin and a mahadrin, but if you want to fulfill the mitzvah in even a higher level, Beishamai Omrim, Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona, Mikan Ve'ilich Poches V'Holich. So Beishamai says something amazing. Beishamai says, how do you observe Hanukkah? Night number one, start with eight candles. Eight candles, and as you go through the subsequent nights of Hanukkah, you remove one of the candles. So you start out with eight, and you end off Hanukkah with one candle. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel alone, Beis Hillel says, Yom Rishon Madlik Achos, Mikan Ve'ilich Mosif Vaholich. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, says, no, on the first night, you go ahead and you begin with one candle, and you add an additional candle for each night of Hanukkah. So the Gemara says, okay, what's the logic behind the respective opinions? So Amar Ula, third line in number three, Pligi ba tre amore b'ma'arava. There was an argument about the argument. Only Jews have discussions like this, right? An argument on the argument. So Beishamai Beisila arguing, how do you fulfill the mitzvah? Beishamai says, start with 8, go down to 1. Beisila says, start with 1, go to 8. And there's an argument as to what their respective opinions were based on. So Rabbi Yossi bar Av and Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida Chadamar, Taima de Beishamai keneged yamim hanichnosin, the Taima de Beisila keneged yamim hayotzim. So one opinion says, it's very simple, they're pretty much just tracking time differently. Beis Shammai says, you observe the Yomtiv based ultimately again on what's ahead of you. So when you kindle the menorah on the first night, what do you have in front of you?
8 nights.
So if you kindle, again, second night of Hanukkah, you have 7 nights. You light in accordance with what is ahead of you. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, says, you light how? Based on what is behind you. Based on what has elapsed. Which, just as an aside, is actually quite fascinating, which has to do with, ultimately, again, almost how you go ahead and look at life as well. People live life looking through different prisms. Some people live life based on what has elapsed, and some people live life based on what is ahead. And you see people like this all of the time. There are people who go through life, and the truth is, they can never get out of their own way. Meaning, they're so caught up in all of the mistakes that they've made in the past, they can never get past it. Or you find other people who lament the fact that they can no longer do in their present stage that which they did in an earlier stage. And there are other people who have an incredible, as they say, you know, joie de vie, an incredible joy of life, an incredible love of life. They accept the fact that the present and the future may look different than the past, but they're focused on maximizing their opportunities. So it's interesting, just as an aside, the pasuk in Chayei Sarah, when it speaks about the Avraham Zakein Ba Bayamin. So literally, Avraham Avinu was old, Ba Bayamin advanced in days. So the pasuk sounds a bit repetitive. So Rabbi Soloveitchik explains so beautifully, it means that Avraham Avinu aged gracefully. So what's the biblical definition of aging gracefully? It has nothing to do with the absence of wrinkles or Botox or anything like that. Right? Aging gracefully in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ability to find meaning in whatever stage you're in. You know, Avraham Avinu was everywhere all the time. He was out trying to convert humanity. And one could imagine that as he became an older man, remember, Avraham doesn't even go out to find a wife for Yitzchak, right? For that, he dispatches Eliezer. How could it be the man who is willing to traverse the entire Middle East to go ahead and spread the word of God is not going out to find a wife for his own son? He was older. He couldn't do it anymore. But the greatness of Avraham Avinu is that he found meaning in the current stage he was in. A lot of times as people get older, they spend all of their kolchos lamenting that which they can no longer do. I remember when I was able to fill in the blank. And it's not even older. It's even as we progress in different stages in life and we reflect on what we can no longer do. Or sometimes we reminisce about freedom, right? Whoever remembers such a thing like this, right? Freedom, lack of responsibility. But at the end of the day, life is all about maximizing the stage of. So you see, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai almost have two different worldviews. So Beis Shammai, interestingly enough, is saying, let's observe Hanukkah based on what is still ahead. Beis Hillel says, let's observe Hanukkah based on what is behind us. The Gemara then goes on. That's one approach. A second approach, the Gemara says, Taima de Beis Shammai keneged pari hachag. Another potential opinion is Beis Shammai. Again, we're not going to get into the technicalities over here, but Beis Shammai models Hanukkah after Sukkot. The way the sacrificial offerings of Sukkot works is we begin with a large number, work our way down to a smaller number. So too by Hanukkah, start with 8, work your way down to 1. What's the connection between Hanukkah and Sukkot? We'll save that for next year, Meretz Hashem. But time at the Beis Hillel, the Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'in Morid. And the Beis Hillel says, no, in general, when it comes to matters of Kiddusha, we always ascend, we do not descend. Therefore, you go from 1 to 8, not 8 to 1. So fundamental dispute, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, about how to light the menorah. Beis Shammai again saying, start with 8, work your way down to 1. Beis Hillel saying, start with 1, work your way up to 8. One more technical machlokes. Take a look at number 4. This is also quite fascinating. Dibay lahu. The Gemara asks another question. Hadlaka ose mitzvah? O hanocha ose mitzvah? So before I explain this, I want to tell you something where this comes up all of the time, right? Imagine this image. I'm sure you've had probably experienced multiple times in your homes, which is you light the menorah, everybody's together, it's fantastic, it's beautiful, everybody's quiet for like 3.7 seconds. You go ahead, you light the menorah, and it's beautiful. The luminescent glow is fantastic. And then what happens?
Shrinks.
It goes out, right? Either the wick topples over, or it falls in, or it just doesn't light. So what's the halacha in such a situation like that? It's good to know. What's the halacha? Are you obligated to relight the menorah? On a technical level, the answer is no. Meaning that I shouldn't give you the punchline yet. There's a fundamental machlokes when it comes to Hilchos Chanukah. At what point in time has one accomplished the mitzvah? Is it the act of kindling that accomplishes the mitzvah? Or is it the placement of the menorah in a burning state that accomplishes the mitzvah? So for example, a practical difference would be the case I just described to you. If you hold hadlaka osa mitzvah, kindling creates the mitzvah, as soon as you light the menorah, as long as, technically speaking, the wick was fit, there was enough oil, you've discharged your obligation. So two fundamental disputes, and they're both between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, when it comes to Chanukah. Machlokis dispute number one is how do you light the menorah? Again, one more time, Beis Shammai saying, how do you light the menorah?
8 to 1.
Excellent. 8 to 1. Right, Beis Hillel saying 1 to 8. Machlokes in number 4 next, Beis Hillel says, hadlaka ose mitzvah. It's the kindling that makes the mitzvah. Whereas Beis Shammai says, it's the placement of the menorah that creates the mitzvah. So I want to share with you something amazing. So in general, when halacha, and this is just important kind of as a general appreciation of Yiddishkeit, we often think of halacha as a series of do's and don'ts. But the truth is what we sometimes fail to realize is that halacha is the way in which Chazal communicated to us a whole system of morality, of ethics, of deeper thought. Halacha is never about mutter, aser, kasher, treif, tamei, tahar. Those are manifestations. Those are bottom lines of the halacha. But embedded within every single halacha is a profound and life-altering message. So when you see these disputes over here, sometimes you think, really, the rabbis have nothing better to do than 8 to 1, 1 to 8, hadlaka, hanacha. They're not just arguing about details. They argue there's a life dispute unfolding over here. So I want to show you something amazing. So the idea that I'm going to share with you is an idea that's brought down in a number of the svarim, in a number of different Hasidic masters. So in the Sefer, Mesilas Bara Hasidos, we kind of brings it all together. Take a look at number 5. And this is really incredible. I promise it's going to change your Chanukah. So if you're okay with your Chanukah as it is, you might want to take a donut and you could go. And otherwise, I'm just preparing you. It's going to fundamentally change the way you see everything. Take a look at number 5. Bazen Nechaluku Gam King Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The Beis Shammai Sovereign Poches Vaholech. Remember again, what's Beis Shammai's verbiage? Poches Vaholech. How would you literally translate poches?
Lesson.
Lesson or diminish. Right? Lessen, diminish, and move forward. Dahainu, what does that mean? Listen to this. Mitchila yoshuv b'tshuva shlema. V'yitein daito al avonosav asher osem yom hivaldo. I'm just going to read one more line. V'yira shebechol is yisma'atu ma'asav v'han hagosav asher lo tovim heima. V'yischarit v'yase tshuva shlema al koma shepagamatato. One word of introduction before I translate. What is Chanukah? In one word, what is Chanukah? Okay, two words. Fine, a sentence. What's Chanukah? Really, one word?
Persumei
Nisa. Good. That's how we celebrate. What is the essence of Chanukah in one word? Historically, what was it?
Salvation.
Good. What does the word Chanukah mean?
Chanukah.
It's your first Chanukah. Okay, it's very exciting. Rededication. Right? Like a Chanukah's HaMizbeah, Chanukah's HaBayis is a dedication. What was Chanukah? The Beis HaMikdash was defiled. We're going to speak about this a little bit later on. The Chashmonaim come back and they rededicate the Beis HaMikdash. They rededicate the Beis HaMikdash. The Yom Tov of Chanukah is a Yom Tov of rededication. But what are we rededicating? I'm not rededicating the Beis HaMikdash. We don't yet have the Beis HaMikdash. Halavai, we will have it Bekarov. So if I'm not rededicating the Beis HaMikdash, what am I rededicating? What's the answer?
Our allegiance
to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could say even more simpler even. Ourselves. Hanukkah is a rededication of self. One of the manifestations of that is our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our relationship to our fellow Jew, our relationship to Torah, our relationship to the world. Hanukkah is a rededication of the self. Hanukkah ultimately, again, is the time where I go ahead and I walk into my Beis HaMikdash, and it might not be in the best of shape, and so I am rededicating myself. So the fundamental machlokes here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is how does one rededicate themselves? What is the process of personalistic rededication? So Beis Shammai says something amazing. If you want to grow in life, the first thing you have to do is you have to find the courage to acknowledge and then to grapple with your shortcomings, your faults, and your failures. You can't get any real traction in life unless you're willing to confront the parts of you that you are least willing to confront. You can't get any real movement in life unless you're willing to go ahead and literally confront your demons. Open the closet, bring out all of the skeletons, deal with them, then there's growth. Beis Shammai says, that's poches. Sometimes I have to bring myself down a little bit. I think I'm holding here. Not really holding here. I think I'm holding here because I'm not really confronting my demons. I'm not confronting my shortcomings. But if you want to grow in life, poches. Sometimes you have to descend into areas that you feel very uncomfortable with because it forces you to confront your own shortcomings and faults. But if you're willing to do that, then holich. So Beis Shammai says something amazing. Beis Shammai says, at the end of, we'll plug this in just a moment. Beis Shammai is talking about an approach to life. How do you grow in life? And the answer is, you must confront your shortcomings, deal with your problems. Once you deal with your problems, then life becomes fertile soil for growth. Don't deal, what do Chazal call it when you don't deal with your problems and you try to grow? Chazal have a term for this. Excellent. Right? Tovel v'sheretz, I thought that was a bas kol for a moment. Excellent. Right? Tovel v'sheretz biyado. And again, it's not a very pretty example, but it makes a lot of sense. Let's say I'm in a state of ritual impurity. I'm going to go to the mikvah. Fantastic. I'm going to go to the mikvah. I'm ready for the mikvah. Only one issue. I'm holding a dead rodent in my hand. Right? So I go in, I go out, I go in, I go out. I'm tovel 57 times. All the kavanah is incredible. What's my status when I come out of the mikvah? Tell me. Why? Because the sheretz is in my hand. So this is the metaphor that Chazal give, that sometimes, again, it's beautiful. I'm going to the mikvah, I'm being metar, I'm purifying myself, I'm moving forward, but I'm holding on to the sheretz. I'm holding on to the source of impurity. And until, A, I'm willing to recognize that, that's a sheretz, right? That's a rodent, and it's not good, and it's defiling me, and it's making me impure. And until I have the courage to identify it and let go of it, you can go to the mikvah as many times as you want. It doesn't change your status. So Beis Shammai says, you want to grow in life? Fantastic. Chanukah is a time for growth. Chanukah is a time for rededication. And what's the plan for growth and rededication? Poches v'holich. Sometimes you have to bring yourself down a little bit in order to move forward. Not bring yourself down to be sad. Not bring yourself down to be morose. But bring yourself down and confront your demons, confront your frailties, confront your faults. You know, we spend so much time pretending like there aren't any faults, like there aren't any problems, because we're so scared for some reason to confront our own shortcomings. And imagine, says Beis Hillel, if you put all of the energy that all of us use to hiding stuff, and instead of using the energy to hide stuff, I use that same energy to confront and deal with those challenges, I would have overcome many of my life challenges and problems already. Says Beis Shammai, that's poches v'holich. On the flip side, what does Beis Hillel say? Take a look at paragraph Beis. He says, Beis Hillel sovereign, mosif v'holich. Beis Hillel disagrees. He says, no, mosif means what? Hainu, bereshis ba'u loshuv litar, al yashis libo lahachrosas hachitzonim. Ela, Tchila ba'alos alavavo la'azov darko hara, ze'itze hayi'utz li'ischazik b'seder avoda, yis'amis, let me tell you the rest of this outside. Beis Hillel says, you want to grow? invest your energies in doing something positive. Now, here's what's interesting. Does Beis Hillel fundamentally disagree with Beis Shammai's approach? What would you say? And in a vacuum, does Beis Hillel disagree?
No.
It makes Shammai is right. Logically, Shammai is right. Right? Logically, it makes sense that the progression for growth is deal with your sheretz, right? Deal with your dead rodent that you've been holding on to for who knows how many years. Deal with that first, and then you'll go on to grow. But Hillel understands something dramatic about human nature, which is
that
you get stuck in your shratzim, right? First of all, again, two things. Number one, a lot of people, if they know they have to confront their demons, won't. They just won't. They'll just pretend on, like on the road going forward, not do anything. And sometimes it's easy to lose yourself in your demons. Sometimes people become so overwhelmed by their faults and their shortcomings. They begin to feel so worthless, so broken, so damaged, that they don't no longer have the strength to go forward. So Hillel says, Shammai, conceptually, I agree with you. But practically, you're profoundly wrong. If you want people to grow in life, start with something positive. Move yourself forward. Do something great. Do something beautiful. Do something spiritually luminescent. Move yourself forward just a little bit in life. And that will instill within you a sense of belief in yourself that you could be someone good, that you could be someone great, that you could be someone holy. So what does Beis Hillel hold? Mosif v'holich. Add on to your personalistic holiness. Do something positive with yourself. Do something positive with it. Beis Hillel says, Hillel says, we're going to have to deal with the demons. Everybody has to deal with their demons. We're just not going to deal with them first. First, we're going to do something positive and good, get a little bit of good life traction, and then we'll come back and deal with all that is broken and all that is tainted. So now, you see how, do you understand now also how their menorahs looked fundamentally different? Right? When you walked into the house of Shammai in the first night of Hanukkah, so remember again, what did his menorah look like? First night of Hanukkah?
Eight.
And you walked in the second night?
Seven.
So you understand the metaphor? See, in Shammai's home, when you walked into the menorah on the first night, what you saw is, here's what you came into the world with. You came into the world with eight candles. All of us come in with unlimited potential and an incredible amount of holiness. But then what happens over the course of life? You extinguish one candle. You extinguish a second candle. You extinguish another candle. Until some of us, you get to the last night of Hanukkah and Shammai's home, what's burning there? One candle. Some of us came into this world with a whole menorah filled with candles. And because of bad decisions and bad mistakes, I'm left with one candle. So Shammai says, the message being, okay, look what you've done. You've extinguished almost all of your candles. The good news is not all, almost all. Ask yourself, how did you extinguish the candles? Ask yourself, why did you extinguish the candles? And let's begin the healing process. Let's acknowledge that which is broken. Let's deal with that which is broken. And let's move ourselves forward. Hillel says, Shammai. Right? If you make people do that, first of all, Hanukkah is going to be the worst yontiv in the world. Right? Everybody's going to dread it. It's going to be horrible. And the truth is, people become so depressed. No one wants to hear the message. Ooh, you started with eight, but you look like a one-candle person by about now. No one wants that. Most of us will just simply lose ourselves in the misery of our mistakes. So instead, Hillel says, let's start the first night with one. Add something the second night, the third night, the fourth night. And if you keep adding a little bit of light in your life all of the time, then once again, you will restore your menorah to its true, beautiful, spiritual luminescence. Do you have to deal with your demons, your shortcomings, your faults, your failures? Yes, we all must do that. But that's not step number one. Step number one is get some positive traction in life. Move yourself forward. And that'll give you the courage and the confidence then to deal with that which is broken. The second machlokes, turn over to the second side of the page. Paragraph Gimel. He goes on, he says, remember, what was the second machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Hanocha versus Hadlaka. So Beis Shammai holds, this is incredible, Hanocha osemetz. Hanocha literally means what?
Preparation.
Good, the Hachana. Good, Hanocha.
Placement.
But what kind of placement?
Lowering.
Lowering, right? Placing down. placing down. So Beis Shammai holds Hanacha Osa Mitzvah. Sometimes if you want to grow, you have to push yourself down a little bit. What does that mean? You have to, same idea. You have to humble yourself by looking at all that which is broken and all that which is blemished and all the things that are wrong. And what does Beis Hillel say? Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. What happens when you kindle something? What does the flame do? The flame shoots upwards. Beis Hillel says, no, at the end of the day, the path to growth can't start by dealing with my failures, because for many of us, that's simply too overwhelming. The path to growth begins by doing something positive, something dynamic, regaining my spiritual confidence that I am holy, that I am special, that I am unique, that I could burn bright, and then that'll give me the courage ultimately later on to go ahead and reflect on all that which is broken. This is the fundamental machlokus in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. This is not just simply a mechanistic, or I should say a detailed machlokus. Should you like this? Should you like that? Should you put it here? Should you put it there? This is a life dispute. Hanukkah is about the rededication of the self. You know what happens around this year, right? Around this time of year. Around this time of year is, for many of us, the last vestiges of the Yamim Noraim are gone. Right, so you know, sometimes you know, if you're really on fire, like you make it through Cheshvan, right? Most of us don't even make it through Cheshvan, not because we're bad, Chas v'Shalom, just because we're human beings, and just life takes on its own momentum. And it's beautiful because we have this thing called Chanukah, and Chanukah is this opportunity to re-energize ourselves, to rededicate ourselves. So Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, understand this is the mitzvah. Just same way the Chas v'Shalom rededicated the Beis Hamikdash, I'm rededicating the most important, you know, the most important Beis HaMikdash is not a structure that sits on the top of Har HaBayis. The most important Beis HaMikdash is the Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, is the Beis HaMikdash that resides within each of us. And it's around this time of year where that Beis HaMikdash, the fire has gone out, right? The cobwebs are starting to show up everywhere. It's a little bit of a derelict state. And now I have the opportunity to rededicate it, to reignite it. So how do you do that? Fundamental dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Who do we paskin like? Who does the halacha follow? The halacha follows Beis Hillel. And here comes something absolutely amazing. Here's the difference between Chanukah and let's say Yamim Noraim. See, Yamim Noraim follows the model of the pasuk in Tehillim of Sur Meira V'Aseh Tov. Right, Yamim Noraim says that if you Rashana Yom Kippur says in Shuvah Chodesh Elul, if you want to grow Sur Meira, you must deal with your shortcomings. You must deal with your faults. You can't get around it. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva says that if a person wants to go out and do Tshuva, what's the first step in Tshuva? First step, right? Aziva Sachet. Right, vidui, the Rambam says, right, vidui, right, confession. So in tshuva itself, aziva sachit, stopping to sin is the first thing, letting go of the sheretz. You can't get anywhere until you let go of the sheretz. And even in vidui, in confession itself, what's the first step of vidui? Ana Hashem, chatasi, avisi, pashati, va'asisi, kach, v'kach, articulating what you did. Si yamin no rayin, you must deal with your demons. Yamim Noraim, you must deal with that which is broken. There is no way around it. There's no way, and we know this, by the way, right? No matter how much you try to distract yourself in shul, over the course, there's only so much reading material, right? And there's only so much you can do. At a certain point in time, you actually have to think about your life. So what am I thinking about? At the end of the day, where did I go wrong? Why am I here? Like, I thought I'd be in a different place in life by now. I thought I'd be more accomplished by now. I thought I'd be doing this. Why am I here? And then I recognize that it's because I've made certain bad decisions in life. I've gone down certain paths that I should not have gone down. It's okay. I know it now. I'm owning it. I'm going to do some course correction. I'll put myself on the right path. Yamim Noraim follows the model of Sur Meira V'Aseh Tov. Chanukah does not. Chanukah is dramatically unique. Chanukah says, we paskin like Beis Hillel, that you can go ahead and rededicate your mikdash without dealing with your demons. Now I want to give you the caveat on that. Right? The fine print is, you always have to deal with your demons. All of us have to. But I don't have to deal with it initially. The avod of Chanukah is a simple one. Do something positive. do something to move yourself and to move your life forward. You don't have to fix that which is broken yet. You don't have to confront your failures yet. You don't have to wrestle with your demons yet. That'll come, but it doesn't have to be on Hanukkah. Hanukkah is about proving to yourself that you could do something positive and dynamic with your personality and with your life. Hanukkah says that you could enhance your Kedusha. Hanukkah says that you could undergo a profound cathartic change because you decide to do something positive with the kochos, with the abilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. Hanukkah allows for rededication while skipping the Sur Meirah and focusing ultimately again on the Aseh Tov. That's why we paskin like Beis Hillel. When we light our menorah, I begin with one light on the first night. First night, I'm going to put a little light. Second night, a little more. So on and so forth. The message is very simple. I might not be in a place where I could deal with my failures and shortcomings. And sometimes in life, I'm not holding there yet. But I can push myself, nudge myself forward just a little bit, day after day after day. And we're not talking about heroic things. We're talking about small little steps of Kedusha that each of us could do in our lives, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in our ruchnius, whether it's in the way we relate to our mishpachos, to our friends, to our whatever it is, each of us know what we have to do in life. And Hanukkah says, rededicate your personal mikdash with just some positive steps each and every day. You don't have to do the difficult work of dealing with the demons right now. That'll come a little bit later on. You know, it's almost Elul, so we don't have to get ready for Yamim Noraim soon. But that's not Hanukkah. Hanukkah is, and think about this historically, you know, there's a part of the Hanukkah story that sometimes is very often overlooked. You know, the Gemara that we quoted in number one told the story that the Hashmonaim come in after defeating the Syrian Greeks, which is an incredible miracle in and of itself, right? The very small army of Jews defeating the mightiest army on the face of the earth at that time. And they come in, and we often think that the challenge they encountered when they came into the Beis HaMikdash is that they couldn't find oil. They couldn't find oil. But the Gemara brings down there was something else that was missing. What? The menorah. The menorah was solid gold. The Greeks took everything of value outside, out of the Beis HaMikdash. There was nothing there. We don't think about this. We think they just were looking for oil, but the menorah wasn't there. So the Gemara discusses that first they made a menorah out of tin, then out of copper, then out of brass, then out of silver, then ultimately out of gold. Only a number of years later was it solid gold again. What did they use for the first year?
A backup.
Right, I'm sorry?
A backup.
Except probably the Greeks took that also. The Gemara says something amazing. They fashioned a menorah out of their spears. The same soldiers who just fought against the Syrian Greeks took their spears and they made a makeshift menorah. Because what is Hanukkah about? Just do something. Just do something. It doesn't have to be perfect. And it doesn't have to be glamorous. And it doesn't have to be amazing. And it doesn't have to be the stuff that Arzbo writes biographies about. Just do something. The first Hanukkah was the paradigmatic example of imperfection. There wasn't enough oil, there wasn't a menorah, but a group of Jews decided that, you know what, if we're going to rededicate this space, we just have to do something positive to move ourselves forward. Sometimes in life, we get stuck in place. We get stuck in place because of habits, because of all different kinds of things. And we think we have to do something like dramatic to dislodge ourselves and to push ourselves forward. And we forget that sometimes it only takes the smallest action to break the routine, to break the monotony, to break the rote, and to push yourself forward. This ultimately is the message of Hanukkah. We paskin like Beis Hillel, not just in the mechanistic details of how we kindle the menorah, but we paskin like Beis Hillel in life. Yamim Noraim is the time to deal with your demons. Hanukkah is the time to rededicate through small, positive acts. And I think it's something that we really have to take in mind for Hanukkah. You know, so often, Hanukkah, we're focused on all the wrong things. We're focused on a lot of details surrounding the Yom Tov. But we often don't give a lot of thought to the avoda of the Yom Tov. It's cold outside, and sometimes by this time of year, it's cold a little bit inside also. The neshama that was so on fire by the Amim Noraim, the neshama that said this year is going to be different, the neshama that said this year I'm going to be different, the neshama that said I could be something great, I could be something magnificent, kind of like froze over a little bit. And Chanukah is the time to thaw out your neshama and to rekindle that spark of incredible inspiration. And lest you think you have to do something dramatic, all it takes is one candle. All it takes is one little act. All it takes is hadlaka osa mitzvah. Kindle yourself in some way. And each day of Chanukah, just figure out a different way to kindle your menorah, your inner menorah, just a little bit more. Nothing major, nothing overwhelming, nothing too huge, just a little something to move your life forward. That's what the Chashmonaim did over 2,400 years ago. They did something small. They just made a menorah out of spears and went ahead and found one little cruse of oil that they did not know was going to last for 8 days. Remember, what was their cheshbon? What were they doing when they lit the menorah? What did they assume they were doing? One day, they were going to light the menorah. That was going to be it. What was going to happen the second day? What would have happened? Nothing. That was the expectation. But yet, one little act generates so much light. It worked for them. And it's the message that inspires us to this very day as well. And just to wrap this up and to kind of loop it back. Remember again, go back to number one for just a moment. What did the Gemara say? My Chanukah. The Gemara said, the Tanur Avana. Remember again the first line, B'chafei b'kislev, Chanukah's 8 days. Remember, what was our question on this Gemara? What was our question? What was our question? Right, two things we don't do. Why are you introducing Chanukah to me like this? We don't fast and we don't eulogize. And perhaps what the Gemara is saying is like this. Chanukah is not the time to eulogize yourself for your past mistakes. Chanukah is not the time to fast because of your past misdeeds. Chanukah is not the time to lament all of the mistakes which we have all made. Rather, Chanukah is the time to hadlaka osa mitzvah. Chanukah is the time mosif v'holich. Don't focus on that which is broken, but rather focus on how you could improve. Focus on the ability to create a bit more light each and every day. Shebizochem Yerz Hashem to rededicate our personal Beis HaMikdash, not through dramatic or heroic activities, but by the little things that each of us have the ability to do each and every day. And in the zechus of rededicating and reigniting the fire of our personal Beis HaMikdash, halavai, shebizochem Yerz Hashem, that all of our individual light should come together and in Yerz Hashem ignite the communal and national light of the Bayis Shlishi Mehira B'Yameinu.
Amen. 100%.
Right, it's very true. And obviously, there's a time for both, right? If my child does something,